Next chapter, we'll go over the basics of the plan so you know exactly what to expect. Chapter 2. A diet that defies your logic. Status quo, you know, is Latin for the mess we're in. Ronald Reagan. It's 8 o'clock a.m. in mid-March. You're in the bathroom getting ready for the day. You take one last look in the mirror, check all angles, and then you freeze. Your mind races. What is that? Right there. That enormous bulge popping out over my waistband. Oh man, these pants used to be too big, and now I'm spilling out all over the place. I know how you berate yourself because you have told me 1,000 times. You think, this whole outfit makes me look like a giant stuffed sausage, or someone could seriously confuse me for the Michelin Man. I mean, did the dry cleaners shrink these clothes, or did I really pack on this many extra pounds over the winter? Just add it to my tab, right? 5 pounds from work stress, 10 from the holidays, a few more from the visit with the in-laws. It adds up before you know it. Then you think, I need to cut myself a little slack. It's been a tough few months. I just need to give up the double bacon cheeseburgers for a while and restart my gym membership. And then I'll be ready for swimsuit season in no time, right? You've been telling yourself this same script again and again, year after year. And even if you did manage to cut back on junk food or drag yourself to the gym for a few sessions, has it ever worked in the past? I'm guessing the answer is no. But have you ever wondered why? It's what everyone says. You have to starve yourself and work out like crazy. Isn't that the answer? New developing research and theories suggest that the solution to your weight problem might go deeper than eating less and exercising more, though it's important not to underemphasize the importance of healthy eating and exercise. These theories and new research suggest that it's about the types of foods you're eating, the kind of exercise you're doing, and significantly, how you're changing your mindset and emotional responses. Let me give you an example. A 400-calorie, low-fat blueberry muffin simply isn't capable of accomplishing the same things in your body as a 400-calorie bowl of oatmeal with apple slices and walnuts. They've got the same amount of calories, so you think they're equal, right? Wrong. Way wrong. What you are going to learn in this diet is that not all calories are created equal, but the current research that's unfolding suggests that some foods may even have intrinsic abilities to help you lose weight, for example, by helping you feel full for longer. I predict you are going to have a serious anger response when I give you the scoop on these new theories regarding what you need to eat and how you need to exercise in order to lose weight and keep it off with healthy lifelong habits. You are going to be thinking, OMG, all this time I never even had a chance. The miles I have walked around that damn track, the sacrifices I have made, the starvation I endured, the time I spent obsessing over what I ate, the pricey gimmicks. Are you kidding me? I was dead in the water before I even started. I did it all with not even a chance of success. This takes us back to the concept of using 20/20 hindsight to your advantage. I intend to completely revamp your current beliefs about weight loss, because that thinking hasn't worked for you, me, or anyone else. The latest theories based on new and evolving research are telling us that obesity is not reversed by cutting out carbs or fasting, both of which are methods you've probably tried before, but instead through the innate power of certain foods that could assist you in reaching your weight loss goals. My team of nutrition experts has identified the top 20 foods that this new research suggests may have specific effects on the human body to help weight loss. I refer to them as the 20/20 foods. The foods in this list each fall into one of three categories. Here they are. Foods with potential thermogenic properties. New theories suggest that some of the foods on this list can increase thermogenesis. Thermo what? Well, thermogenesis is the metabolic process by which your body produces heat. In other words, it's related to your metabolism. There are different types of thermogenesis, and I'll explain more about that later in this chapter. But right now, I'm specifically referring to diet-induced thermogenesis. Some scientists believe that certain foods may increase your metabolism after you eat them. Did you ever think food could increase your metabolism? This is what I mean when I say that not all foods or calories are created equal. Foods that stick to your ribs. If you've ever sat down and polished off an entire family-sized bag of nacho cheese chips at record speed and then felt hungrier than when you opened the bag, you know that not all foods you put in your mouth satisfy you. But believe it or not, there are also certain foods that research suggests may increase your satiety. They tell your brain that you've had enough and you don't need any more after eating a reasonable, not gargantuan, portion. They help you feel fuller than other foods in their same category, or, as we say in Texas, they really stick to your ribs. For instance, codfish and chicken are both lean proteins, but research indicates that people who eat cod report feeling fuller than people who eat chicken. I use this type of information to compile this list of filling foods. Think back to other skimpy diet meals you've eaten and how you've been left yearning for more. Maybe you even wound up in front of the open refrigerator, wiping drool from your chin, and then eating everything in there like a starving vulture. Well, the meals in this diet plan have been designed to help you leave the table feeling full and satisfied. You might be thinking, yeah, feeling full right after my meals is great, but what about later when I'm running on empty again? I know just how this goes. It's the first morning of your new diet, and your paltry breakfast already seems like a distant memory, when all of a sudden your stomach gives a little gurgle. Oh no. You try to ignore it, but before too long, the gurgle has evolved into a full-on growl, so loud that your boss heard it from across the office. You stare at the clock as each second feels like an eternity. Your head begins to ache, and images of pastries begin to usurp all of your rational thoughts. It becomes a mental tug of war, and you know you'll never survive until lunch. You finally surrender and think, now where did I stash those emergency candy bars? This post-meal hunger scenario can lead to rebellion. So how do we address it? Well, studies have revealed that certain foods have the particular ability to suppress your appetite, meaning they delay the return of your hunger so you can last until the next mealtime without having to seriously consider gnawing off your own arm. And because you're not hungry, you won't be haunted by cravings anymore. I think what will really surprise you is that these are not the weird, unappetizing foods that can only be found at the pricey health food store. These also are not fat-blasting fad foods from some exotic rainforest somewhere. Examples include almonds, apples, and yogurt. Nothing crazy there. I want you to think of these as everyday superfoods that should be eaten in the right proportions. Time-release combinations. The final method comes from new theories that suggest that foods should be combined to create a time-release type effect in your body. These theories suggest that the right combination of carbohydrates, that's right, carbs are not the devil, proteins, and what I call fit fats, can cause your body to break meals down slower. And slower is better because it means your brain continues to receive the full signal for hours after you eat these meals. Plus, research suggests that eating these foods can help you feel more energized, which can help reduce the need to grab a sugary snack in the middle of the day for a pick-me-up. But the right portions are really important, and the meals in this diet are designed with this in mind. By the end of the plan, you'll know how to combine foods and create appropriate portion sizes on your own so you can truly adopt this as an ongoing lifestyle. Delicious, flavorful foods. No, really. We've all heard the saying, if it tastes good, spit it out. That's because if something tastes good, there's no way it could also be good for you, right? Because heaven forbid that a healthy meal could possibly be enjoyable or, oh, I don't know, have a little hint of flavor. How many diets have you done that had you eating foods with about as much flavor as styrofoam? Most people equate diet with bland because that's always been their experience. Just because you're losing weight doesn't mean you should have to dread every flavorless, predictable bite. Plus, there's a whole world of new information out there on the health benefits that various seasonings and herbs have to offer. Your body wants and needs these things, so why would you deprive yourself of them? 30-second strategies. This plan incorporates fascinating 30-second behavioral strategies to help you achieve your goals. And I think you will be amazed by what you can accomplish in just 30 short seconds with these. And if you can't spare 30 seconds, then there are other problems we need to discuss first. Furthermore, some of the meals can be assembled in 30 seconds, and even the exercise program is based on 30-second bursts. Here's what it entails. Exercise. Less is more. New theories suggest that long, drawn-out cardio sessions may not be necessary when it comes to weight loss, and that shorter workouts of varied intensity may also be effective. There's lots of good news here. First, you don't need some kind of expensive equipment or membership at a state-of-the-art gym in order to perform this kind of exercise. Secondly, you may be able to exercise less, but still burn calories, making this exercise plan easy to fit into your schedule. Don't get me wrong, you're going to be doing some work. If you're one of those people who leaves the gym looking like you just left the beauty salon, not a hair out of place and not a bead of sweat on your body, then you're not fooling anyone and you're wasting your time. But the secret to this exercise program lies within 30-second bursts of intense activity in between less intense activity. And if you hate running or can't run, don't worry. This method applies to biking, swimming, walking, or any other kind of exercise that floats your boat. You'll learn all the ins and outs in Chapter 10, but the bottom line is that this routine can help you lose weight, burn calories and fat, and tone shapely muscles, all in less time than you might imagine, and all in your own home. Splurging allowed. Yes, even alcohol. Cheat days have become a trend in diets lately. But sticking to a plan for 6 days and then going completely bonkers at the all-you-can-eat pizza bar on day 7 is going to get your body chemistry off kilter, and you know it. So here's a concept. Follow the plan every day, but know that you can have a reasonable splurge once or twice a week. Then you're not fixating on that day 7 pig out all week long. It doesn't take as much to satisfy your need for a little something that's off plan, and it doesn't affect your steady weight loss. After the first phase of this diet, which is only 5 days, by the way, you're allowed a splurge once or twice a week. This even includes a glass of wine. In fact, some research suggests that some people who drink alcohol in moderation weigh less than people who don't. There are some simple guidelines you'll follow to achieve fail-safe splurging. You'll ask yourself if you're really trying to fill an emotional need with food, and, if so, address it in a different way. The splurge food must fit in the palm of your hand. I'll give you specific examples of splurge sizes so you don't overdo it. And you must do some form of exercise on days that you splurge. Ultimately, this technique takes your focus off cheating because you know you are allowed to splurge. And in my experience, simply knowing that it's available means you actually end up splurging less often than you do on other, more restrictive plans. Body composition overhaul. On a lot of popular diets, you may lose both fat and muscle because you're drastically restricting carbohydrates, which your muscles desperately need, and you're not exercising properly. Even if it reflects a lower number on the scale, you really do not want to lose muscle because it is the furnace that burns fat. Less muscle, smaller furnace. Smaller furnace, slower weight loss. But the meals in this diet are designed to allow you to maintain and build muscle. Plus, with this plan, we have provided a number of exercises that are easy to incorporate into your daily life that are designed to build muscle and help tone your body. So when you follow this exercise plan and lose 10 pounds, it might actually feel like 20 because the overall shape of your body is improving. You might even fit comfortably into clothing you wore when you weighed less. I know it seems strange, but your weight is not the whole story. Body composition is critical. Getting in tune with your hunger. Let's conduct a little experiment. Close your eyes and imagine biting into a crisp dill pickle. What happened? Come on, I can see you wiping the drool from here. Your mouth watered, of course. You began producing saliva in anticipation of eating a pickle. Maybe that doesn't seem like an earth-shattering revelation, but think about it. You didn't see a pickle. You didn't touch a pickle. You didn't smell a pickle. All you did was think about one. Your thoughts have the ability to produce physiological responses in your body. In this plan, you're going to harness the power of your thoughts to help you lose weight instead of letting them run amok and contribute to the problem. One way you'll do that is by implementing my hunger and fullness scale in your daily life. This scale will help you identify the difference between real physical hunger, habit hunger, and that fake mind hunger, which is just a feeling conjured by your thoughts, emotions, or responses to triggers. Mind hunger is what happens when you succumb to either an external cue, like a candy jar or fast food commercial, or an internal cue, such as stress or loneliness. It's not accompanied by physical symptoms of hunger, like a growling stomach, which means your body does not actually need nourishment. The Dr. Phil's 2020 Hunger and Fullness Scale, found in your user guide, will help you understand, based on signals your body is sending you, just how hungry you are so that you shouldn't get too hungry and you shouldn't eat when you don't actually need to. By getting in tune with your body and its signals, you will begin to gain control over your eating habits. You've probably heard me say it before, and I'll say it again. You can't change what you don't acknowledge. Until you acknowledge that not all hunger means you must stuff something in your mouth immediately or risk passing out and dying from starvation, you can't have successful weight loss. I could throw every healthy food known to man at you, but if you haven't learned to pay attention to your body and not overeat, you will remain overweight. And once you start paying attention, you will be shocked at how often you've been eating purely out of mind hunger or habit hunger. It happens to everyone, but what sets you apart is that you're now identifying it and taking control over it. Calling in the experts. It's hard to lose weight if you just change your food, or just change your exercise, or just change your thinking. To be successful, we've got to tackle this from all angles. You have to shake it up to break it up. That's easier said than done, and probably impossible to do alone. So, in order to give you a diet plan that addresses all of the ugly truths about other diets that have failed you, as I alluded to earlier in this chapter, I put together a top-notch team of experts across several fields. If you have read any of my other books or watched me on TV, you know that my expertise is in the area of human behavior. I've been studying it and applying that knowledge with patients and guests on my show for 4 decades. And when it comes to weight loss, you might not immediately think of a psychologist as the type of expert from whom you would seek answers. Look, weight is a function of behavior, and your thoughts control your behavior. In a study published in the Journal of the American Dietetic Association, researchers found that subjects who ate out of stress or emotion were 13.38 times more likely to be overweight or obese. That's a huge number. Imagine how much better off you'd be if you could remove that emotional eating factor from the equation. This is exactly why I've got to help you stop using food for anything other than nutrition. Here's the truth. Even if you know exactly what it takes nutritionally and in terms of physical exercise to shed those pounds, putting it into action and sustaining it is the tough part. It's estimated that 80% of people who do succeed at losing weight will gain it all back. Why? Unless you alter your lifestyle and find new, non-food ways to cope, you will eventually drift back to your previous behaviors. So, I'm going to take what I know about human behavior to help you reprogram your thinking and your lifestyle so that they're designed to support your goals. I've said for a long time that I wasn't going to write a new diet book until there was something new and intriguing enough to take the conversation to the next level. Well, when my research team and I sat down and really pulled apart this new information, I knew that time had come. Food is, of course, a critical piece to this puzzle. A vital member of my nutrition team is registered dietitian Cynthia Sass, who brings to the table a great deal of experience, both with patients in her private practice and as a sought-after writer in the nutrition field. She's a New York Times best-selling author in her own right and has contributed to several well-known national health and wellness magazines over her career. With her bachelor's degree in nutrition dietetics, her master's degree in nutrition science, and another master's degree in public health, Cynthia knows a thing or two about what, when, why, and in what combinations you need to eat food. And she has formal culinary training because she gets a vital point about all of this. You've got to want to eat the foods on your diet. This plan is a 360-degree approach because I believe anything less will fail you. Now I'm going to show you just how all the pieces of the puzzle come together for you. The flyby version of the 2020 diet. This diet is divided into three phases over the course of 30 days. Here's a breakdown of each phase. Overview of phase 1, the 5-day boost. The first phase lasts a total of 5 days and helps your body find new dietary balance and restore itself. In these first very important 5 days, you will build a momentum, a boost, that will set you on a new path and keep you motivated. You will choose your meals and snacks, 4 a day, spaced about 4 hours apart, from a list of simple, delicious recipes that are created by using only the 2020 foods. The primary goal of this phase is to tune into your body signals by learning how to distinguish between physical hunger, habit hunger, and mind hunger using my hunger and fullness scale. If your doctor okays it, during this first phase, you can also start the exciting and fun 30-second burn burst exercise program explained in Chapter 10. If not, you will simply increase the number of steps you take throughout each day you're on this phase, so you can prepare your body for more physical activity later. Overview of Phase 2, the 5-day sustain. By the end of Phase 1, you'll be in a positive pattern of eating certain foods at specific times of the day, and your body and mind will be in a brand new groove. In the second phase, which is also just 5 days long, you'll continue to expand on your progress by introducing some new foods to the mix. No boredom here. The primary goals of phase 2 are: start recognizing flavors better because the meal plans have been designed to rely on flavors other than added salt, sugar, and artificial sweeteners. Splurge safely. You won't be set up to rebel. There's a new list of delicious meals to choose from, so you don't have to think about how to combine foods in the correct proportions. We're keeping it simple. Each meal will include at least 2 of the 2020 foods. You'll also keep up the 30-second burn burst exercise program or be walking more each day. Overview of Phase 3, the 20-day attain. During these 20 days, you'll continue eating 2 of the 2020 foods in each of your 4 meals a day. The goals of Phase 3 are: maintain steady weight loss. Keep losing weight and trimming inches. Remember, everyone is different and we all lose weight at different rates, so maintain a realistic outlook on how much you're losing and how quickly. Dine out without slowing progress. Apply simple strategies for dining in restaurants. Discover variety. Enjoy lots more foods and flavors to inspire healthy food preferences more than ever. You'll find 80 meals to choose from. Yes, you really could eat a different meal 4 times a day for all 20 days. And they're still combined for the right balance to fuel your body. Plus, you'll have a comprehensive list of options for what to order when you go out to restaurants. The power of the right portions and proportions. In all the phases of this diet, we've designed each meal to have a certain amount of heart-healthy fats, lean protein, wholesome starches, also known as complex carbohydrates, and fruits and vegetables, because the current findings suggest that the correct portions and combinations create thermogenesis and satiety. Complex carbohydrates provide slow-burning energy and B vitamins. They are also your body's preferred fuel source, but in our plan, we've created reasonable portion sizes that aid you with weight loss. Lean proteins help you burn calories in the hours after meals and maintain or build calorie-burning muscle. When you put these carbs and proteins together proportionally, the protein actually slows your rate of digestion of the healthy starches. That slower digestion means a better regulation of blood sugar and insulin levels, and your body receives its carbohydrate fuel in a time-released manner. The right portions of fit fats may help you feel fuller for longer, support healthy circulation, and increase your body's ability to absorb key antioxidants and vitamins from your fruits and vegetables. Fats and proteins also provide the raw materials your body needs to support healthy bodily functions. So when you eat the meals that we've created every 4 hours, you know that your body is getting reasonable portion sizes of important nutrients to fuel you throughout the day. Like I said, we need to eat to live, not live to eat. and these foods will have you living a happy and healthy life. Overview of the management phase. After 30 days, depending on how close you are to your goal, you may repeat the plan. When you've reached your goal weight, you'll begin the management phase of the diet. The goals of this ongoing phase are to help you adopt lifelong habits to make healthy weight a permanent part of your life and to solidify your new, healthy lifestyle. In this phase, you'll learn a simple formula for combining the right portions and proportions of foods in all of your meals. Again, it doesn't involve counting calories, doing math, weighing food, or anything complicated or annoying like that. It will simply help you strike the right balance between fats, proteins, starches, fruits, and vegetables while maintaining portion sizes to help keep you at your healthy weight. The role your metabolism plays. Metabolism is a word that gets thrown around an awful lot these days, and as a result, you might have a misconception about what the heck it has to do with weight loss. It boils down to energy and calorie burning. It's all about how your body uses energy to support life, and that includes processes you don't think about but that still require energy. For example, you need energy in order to breathe, circulate blood in your veins and arteries, digest, think, heal, produce hormones, and so much more. The energy your body requires to carry out those basic functions is called your basal metabolic rate, and it represents between 60 and 75% of the calories you burn on a daily basis. Everybody's basal metabolic rate differs. The number of calories you burn doing these basic processes of survival is based on your gender, age, and body composition. Three types of thermogenesis. As I briefly introduced earlier, thermogenesis is the process by which warm-blooded animals like us regulate body temperature. It's our body's way of producing heat. Our bodies need energy in the form of food or calories in order to stay warm, among many other bodily functions, and thermogenesis is how we use energy to produce that heat. Thermogenic source number one. Non-exercise activity thermogenesis, or NEAT, NEAT. Normal everyday activity requires energy. For example, taking a shower, preparing food, working at a desk, and other unintentional exercise activity. Those all require your body to burn calories too. These activities are referred to as NEAT, which stands for Non-Exercise Activity Thermogenesis. You can increase your NEAT by adding in simple, practically mindless movements while you're doing everyday activities. You'd be surprised how many more calories you can burn just by taking the stairs, parking farther away from the store, or standing up instead of sitting on your duff all day. It may not sound like much, but these little things add up in a big way. Thermogenic source number two, exercise-induced thermogenesis. The next piece of the metabolism puzzle is exercise-induced thermogenesis, working up a good old-fashioned sweat. This is the most obvious way in which your body burns up calories. It's cyclical. The more active you are, the more calories your body burns up in order to give you the energy for the activity. The 30-second burn burst exercise program is a fun way to burn calories and is easy to fit into your lifestyle, so it's a win-win. No, I'm not asking you to go out and become a triathlete, but I am going to ask you to break a sweat. Thermogenic source number three, diet-induced thermogenesis. The final aspect of metabolism is diet-induced thermogenesis. This is the process by which your body manages and digests the foods you give it. As we're learning from new theories, some foods may affect this process differently and help increase your thermogenesis after you eat them. In Chapter 6, you will find information about these foods and the studies backing them. Could you be weight loss resistant? My wife Robin has a great genetic metabolism. She could eat a flock of chickens, a sack of potatoes, and 2 eclairs and not gain an ounce. I am exactly the opposite. I have a genetically transmitted disorder called metabolic syndrome, or Syndrome X. It is actually a cluster of conditions: high triglycerides, insulin resistance, and accumulation of lower belly fat. The insulin resistance means that many types of sugar and carbohydrates are like poison to my body, and they can block my body's normal conversion of food into expendable energy. Instead, it stores it in fatty deposits. I am also diabetic, which further complicates my weight loss. So I am predisposed to obesity, but I'm the only person in my family who is not obese. The reason is simple. They choose what they choose, and I choose what I choose. I think I deserve to have a weight that allows me to have good health, longevity, activity, and a positive body image. I will not accept less from myself because I think I deserve better. Am I a victim? No. If you are similarly situated, are you a victim? No. You just need to inform yourself because this information affects your next steps. If you think you fit into the weight loss resistant category, you should assess your weight loss needs with your doctor and let him or her determine the best course of action, as this plan may not be appropriate for your distinct medical needs. Putting it all together. In the next chapter, I'm going to introduce you to some of the psychological underpinnings of this entire plan. I want to show you how you can get out of your own way and stop sabotaging your weight loss efforts. Remember, there's no magic bullet that will make you thin in the blink of an eye. But by gaining control over your decisions, environment, and behaviors, you will shift how you look at food and exercise to make healthy eating and exercise a lifelong habit. Even if you haven't seen your feet without sitting down for 20 years, yes, you can add that to your 2020 vision of how your life will change. I'm going to show you that this is within the realm of possibility and that you can achieve your goals if you truly are ready. Part 2. Prepping for Success. Chapter 3. Getting out of your own way. We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit. Aristotle. When you look at those people whom you admire, maybe they're skinny, glamorous, seem to have it all. Do you say to yourself, they are better than me, and I will never be able to look that way or feel the way they seem to feel? I guess I'll never have what they have. I've seen myself try and fail too many times. You may still feign excitement or get temporarily pumped up about some quick fix fad diet, but deep down, do you really believe you can do it? If not, you won't do it. If, on the other hand, you look at your role models and think, now it's my turn, then this is your chance to make it so. Listen, if you continue to do what you've always done, you will continue to have what you've always had. If you do different, you will have different. If you begin to require more of yourself, that in and of itself is different. It starts by adjusting your thinking. You've got to abandon all your negative beliefs about yourself and replace them with positive ones. You have to identify and embrace what it is that you are good at, as well as the qualities, traits, and characteristics that make you a worthwhile human being. I'll give you an example from my life. When I was a kid, my personal truth was severely damaged. My family was dirt poor. My father was a bad alcoholic. And there were even times growing up when I was hungry and homeless. I had to rally just to feel like a second-class citizen. But eventually, and with a lot of help from some coaches, I found something I could be proud of. As it turned out, I was a good athlete. Now, obviously, I was no Michael Jordan or Tom Brady, but on the football field, I could run pretty darn fast and jump pretty darn high, and seemed to be able to catch and hang on to the ball better than most. Once that whistle blew, my team didn't care where I lived or who my family was. They cared that I could play football. And when I looked around to find that all of my teammates who I held in high esteem were suddenly deferential to me, they believed I was superior. I thought, there must be something good about me because they're choosing team captain and they choose me. So I focused on that one isolated area, and that was enough for my self-worth to begin to grow. Finding value in that one area gave me enough traction to stop putting myself down for what I wasn't blessed with and focus instead on what I was blessed with and worked hard doing. I was giving myself a fact-based attribution to my self-image. You can do the same. There are 4 steps to get you started. 1. Decide what you are good at or what is good about you. 2. Observe yourself exhibiting those qualities or characteristics or mastering a given function or activity. 3. Acknowledge that you are, in fact, living to your potential and having some mastery in your life. 4. Make an attribution to yourself regarding that competency. Now we need to apply this approach to how you feel about your body and losing weight. You've got to decide, and really believe, that you can be good at losing weight. As you learn to eat healthy and incorporate exercise into your daily routine, you will observe yourself mastering weight loss because the scale and the measuring tape will reflect that fact. You will change your personal truth to reflect the new reality you've created. And as your personal truth begins to change, you will stop beating yourself up for all the mistakes you've made in the past. Then you behave your way to success because once you've changed your thoughts and beliefs about yourself, your behavior follows. Out with the old. You need to begin this program with an open mind and a clean slate, not just about who you are, but also about diet and exercise. Whatever you think you know about how to fuel your body and help it release the weight clearly hasn't worked for you so far, so we're going to introduce you to some new theories and tips that could help you succeed this time. Perhaps you haven't been applying information you learned in the past correctly. For example, you heard once that a low-fat diet was the answer, so you bought every candy labeled low-fat, ate the whole damn box, and then couldn't figure out why the pounds weren't melting away. You thought, hey, the packaging says it's a low-fat food, so I can eat the whole damn box. Well, guess what? Refined sugar, which is what that candy is made of, doesn't have any fat in it. But do you really think you could eat 4 pounds of it a day and not gain an ounce? Of course not. We now know that the excess sugar, or what's referred to as simple carbohydrates, gets converted to fat once it's in your body, which translates to more pounds on the scale. You have to be armed with both the right information and the correct way to apply that information. Now we know better in so many areas that impact your body. Right now, I want you to spend 30 seconds writing down all the ways you've tried to lose weight in the past. If you've tried fasting all week and then pigging out on the weekend, write that down. If you believe that the only way to get thin is to starve yourself, get that down on paper. If you've tried existing purely on sliced turkey and hamburger patties, add that to the list. Think of every diet, exercise program, system, cleanse, product, and procedure that you've tried and put them all down on paper. Once they're in black and white, go through the list and cross out each one that has failed you. As you cross them out, I want you to acknowledge that these ideas did not work for you, but that you can still succeed in reaching your weight loss goals. Now, crumple up the paper and throw it away. Be as dramatic as you wish to drive the symbolism home. I don't care if you light it on fire, as long as you don't burn your house down. The idea is that you're using your 20/20 hindsight to let go of the past, start fresh, and open your mind to the new information you're going to learn and master. Your mind-body connection. A powerful tool you should have in your weight loss arsenal is called guided imagery. Psychologists use this when working with cancer patients. They ask them to think of their disease as ants attacking them, or to picture their own immune cells as Pac-Man characters gobbling up all the cancer cells. This gives patients a sense of power and control over what can be a terrifying diagnosis. It also lowers stress and anxiety, alters brainwaves, and has even been shown to increase the body's natural immunity. It helps patients dealing with serious illness, and it can also help you lose weight. First, create a visual symbol for the extra fat on your body. It could be prison bars that are figuratively encasing and restricting you, or a black cloak with the hood pulled up, hiding you from others, or a massive python wrapped around your body, squeezing the life out of you. Then ask yourself, why have you allowed this to happen? Why have you imprisoned yourself? Why are you hiding? Why have you given yourself a death sentence? Your weight problem has likely been a gradual process, probably without conscious intent, but in most cases, arriving at this weight was your decision, even if it was a subconscious one, because there was some kind of payoff. You wouldn't have continued the behaviors that caused you to gain weight if there wasn't any payoff. For example, Victims of molestation sometimes make a subconscious choice to gain weight so they can feel sexually irrelevant and thus thwart all interest from the opposite sex, even healthy interest. Other people turn to food for pleasure, companionship, a sense of calm, a deep-seated need for immediate gratification, or an irrational form of reward. Your payoffs could be any or a combination of these factors, but the point is that you need to first recognize them and then learn how to generate the very same payoffs, except with healthy behaviors this time. I'll help you do just that as we continue working in the chapters ahead. Now, go back to the symbol you've associated with your extra weight. Imagine yourself losing weight, and as you do, see yourself overpowering, for example, that constricting snake so it's forced to loosen its grip on you, or watch as you bend those prison bars with superhuman strength, or as you peel off that heavy black cloak. You're in control now. As you begin to lose weight in real life, return to this symbol over and over until finally the visual no longer applies at all. Why willpower doesn't work. A huge part of getting your thinking right is to understand the fundamental difference between control and willpower. In our survey, we asked why people typically quit or gave up on weight loss programs. We gave a list of common reasons, including hunger, cravings, unsupportive friends and family, plateaus, and lack of willpower, and asked respondents to rate the extent to which each issue affected their decision to throw in the towel. Before I reveal the intriguing results, I want you to answer this question truthfully. If you've ever quit a diet or fallen off the weight loss wagon in the past, how much did your lack of willpower factor into your decision to quit? Use a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 means it did not play a role at all, and 10 means it played an extreme role. If you answered 10, you are in good company. In our survey, 37.6% of people said lack of willpower was the top cause of their past weight loss failures. They gave it a score of 10 out of 10. I've been saying it for years. Willpower doesn't work long term. It's a temporary fix. You think, this is it. I'm going to do it this time. I'm going to bulldoze my way through this and finally get skinny. Come on. You know how that story ends. You might manage to starve yourself for a few days, and maybe you even drop a couple pounds. But then what happens? All you think about are the foods you aren't allowed to eat until finally those thoughts give way to actions. That dam breaks, and you find yourself devouring a large pepperoni pizza without coming up for air. And then you blame yourself and decide you'll just have to muster up more willpower, and it'll work the next time. And so the ugly, self-defeating cycle starts all over again. I want you to wipe the concept of willpower from your vernacular and replace it with words and concepts like control and programming. Willpower has no staying power. Control and programming can last a lifetime because when you set up your world and your relationships to support your weight loss goal, you set yourself up for success that lasts. As you start implementing this plan in your life, you'll begin to take back control over your thoughts, your relationship with and understanding of food and nutrition, important aspects of your lifestyle and environment, and your commitment to exercise. And ultimately, I believe you'll win back control over your weight. What's your excuse? The obesity disease. The American Medical Association recently changed its definition of obesity from a complex disorder or a chronic condition to that of disease requiring a range of medical interventions to advance obesity treatment and prevention. The medical experts are taking this threat to public health extremely seriously, and so should you. While I'm at it, I'd like to give you a quick rundown of the top health conditions that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention lists as caused or aggravated by obesity. Coronary heart disease, stroke, high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, cancer such as breast and colon, liver and gallbladder disease, sleep apnea, respiratory problems, degeneration of cartilage and bone, or osteoporosis, reproductive health complications such as infertility, and mental health conditions. Use your 2020 foresight to think of your future self as you make this decision to take your health seriously. Let's talk about your typical go-to excuse when you're trying to justify your bad behavior. When you've given yourself permission to eat a large pizza, the whole plate of fried mozzarella sticks, a ginormous soda, or any other variety of unhealthy food, how have you been justifying that self-defeating behavior? At this point, I would like you to refer to the questionnaire in the What's Your Excuse section of your user guide. I asked about people's justifications for overeating or indulging in unhealthy foods in the survey, and I'd like you to answer honestly too. The top three excuses people from our survey identified with the most were: 1. I tell myself to live in the moment. I'll do better tomorrow. 2. I tell myself it's worth it because it tastes good. 3. I tell myself I'm hungry and I physically need the food. Take a moment to think about all the lies you've told yourself in the past, all the ways you gave yourself permission to engage in bad behavior. Isn't it amazing how easily you can cheat yourself out of the right choices by convincing yourself that you deserve the wrong ones? It's highly illogical when you think about it. You deserve a better life. You deserve better health. And you deserve to lose weight. But in the moment, you're reacting to a trigger. So you convince yourself that you deserve the pizza and beer. In your mind, you're calling it a reward, when in actuality, it is a punishment. You'll tell yourself something, anything, in order to make it okay for you to have momentary pleasure. It's time to stop these self-defeating patterns. The next time you find yourself drooling over some ridiculously inappropriate food choice, take control of your thoughts. Replace the excuse to indulge with a rational thought from the following list or one of your own so you have a clear-cut strategy when you have a moment of weakness. 1. Choices I make now will impact my future. I will turn down this temptation now so that I don't regret my decision later. 2. The payoff of instant gratification isn't enough for me anymore. I care too much about reaching my goals to sacrifice them for something that tastes good in a fleeting moment. 3. If I'm genuinely experiencing physical hunger, I will eat something from this plan to hold me over until the next mealtime. What's your routine? If I asked you about your food routine, what would you say? Do you even have one? Or is eating more like a haphazard, grab-and-go, stuff-something-in-your-face-when-it's-convenient scenario most days of the week? Many of the overweight patients I've worked with and counseled over the years report that they pretty much eat whatever is around whenever they can. But the lack of a purposeful routine is still a routine. It's not a healthy one, and it's not one that lends itself to weight loss, but it's a routine nonetheless. And it actually could be a huge factor in your current weight problem, because the latest theories indicate that when or how often we eat is just as important as what we eat. For one full day, write down everything that goes in your mouth. You can find a handy template in the What's Your Routine section of your user guide. From the coffee with cream and sugar in the car, to the handful of chocolate candies at work, the chicken nuggets you grabbed at the drive-thru, to the bag of chips you inhaled while watching a sitcom, write it all down. You can record it in a food journal, in your phone, a spiral notebook, or a collection of post-it notes. You should eat like you normally do on an average day. The only thing that's different is that you'll record it and keep that record. To make this even more useful, you're also going to write down the time that you ate the foods and a little information about what you were thinking about when you ate them. If you weren't thinking at all, you can just write nothing. That's fine. Or if you ate as a response to hunger and all you were thinking about was that you were absolutely famished, write famished. Alternatively, if you're thinking about how stressed out, pissed off, or exhausted you are, say so. All of it is very useful data. This exercise is going to provide you with a world of information. It will reveal to you what kind of value you are assigning to your food currently. I'll get into that more later, but for right now, make a pact with yourself that, starting when you wake up tomorrow, you will record everything that you consume. When the chart is filled in, look at your results. Do you notice a pattern? Are you coming to realize that more of your food choices are based on an emotion, a trigger, or just pure habit rather than a physical need to eat? Or did you let yourself get so hungry that by the time you finally ate, you severely overate? We're going to look at these habits and trends in more depth a little later. But for now, this is a great starting point for acknowledging your routine, one that we will change together. Are you ready? Or just pretending? Do you want to be thinner but aren't willing to give up your favorite foods? You'd love to be healthier, but exercise is out of the question? Are you still thinking, I suppose I'll get around to losing weight at some point down the road? If those thoughts ring true, then you are not ready, and there is little or nothing that I can say to convince you to get ready at this point. If, however, you have hit rock bottom and you know there is no option anymore, you are ready to throw out your old ways that weren't working and make immediate, necessary changes to achieve your goal. Life rewards action. Stop thinking about losing weight and take action. Now is the time to get out of your chair and into the game, because life won't wait around for you to make up your mind. In the next chapter, you will make a plan for achieving your goals, and then, watch out, world, you're on a mission and no one can stop you. Chapter 4. Set the right goal. To map out a course of action and follow it to an end requires courage. Ralph Waldo Emerson. Setting the right goal in the right way is imperative. In The Ultimate Weight Solution, I talked about defining your get real weight, and I coined that term for two reasons. First, you have to get real about what is safe and achievable for you. If you're a 6 foot tall woman with broad swimmer shoulders and quadriceps thicker than most tree trunks, and you want to weigh 125 pounds like all of your pint-sized friends, you would be setting an unrealistic, unhealthy, and likely unachievable goal weight. You also have to get real about your target weight from a psychological perspective. You can't just pluck a number from thin air that you want to see on the scale, because you'll set yourself right back on the loop-de-loop you know all too well. Think about your relationship with your body and set goals toward liking it, being proud of it, accepting it for all of your God-given uniqueness, and treating it with respect and love. You will experience a psychological shift in how you feel about your body as you go through the steps in this program. Watch your transformation. People are posting selfies all over the internet these days, but I'm asking you to take a selfie that is for your eyes only. We already know how powerful it can be to look at the past, and we know you've got to clearly envision all that lies ahead. Now let's create markers to help you track your progress and pave your route. Take a before photo of yourself when you start this plan, and then take photos at the end of each week so that you can watch the physical transformation occurring. You see yourself in the mirror every day, which can make it easy to miss physical changes. So that's where the photos come in very handy for continued motivation. Also, take some simple starting measurements. Stand up straight and don't suck in or push out your stomach. Just keep it neutral. Don't flex your muscles either. You want to get an accurate, neutral reading for all of these. As you progress through the plan, take the same measurements and record them in the chart in the Watch Your Transformation section of your user guide to help you track your progress and keep you motivated. You'll likely notice an improvement overall in muscle tone and your physical shape. The point is not to obsess over these numbers. Again, these are simply opportunities to gauge your progress and pat yourself on the back as you feel pride over creating positive results. Waist circumference warning. Quite a bit of research has been done in the area of measuring risk factors for cardiometabolic diseases such as diabetes, hypertension, and coronary heart disease. And one very simple way to determine your own risk is to look at your waist measurement. In general, if you are a woman and your waist circumference is greater than 35 inches around, or if you're a man and it's greater than 40 inches around, then you are at an increased risk for serious illnesses. Why? Well, your waist measurement is an indication of the amount of visceral fat in your body. And when I say visceral, I'm referring to the fat underneath your abdominal wall. This is the dangerous fat surrounding and, in a sense, strangling your organs and keeping them from functioning properly. This stuff is no joke. If you have this excess belly fat and your measurements are in the danger zone, I want to sound the alarm loud and clear. and I want you to get serious about losing weight. So run, not walk, to your doctor to discuss what steps you need to take to reduce your risks. The last step in this process of setting your sights on a clear target is to look at the chart in the Watch Your Transformation section of your user guide and find your healthy weight range. Now, again, this isn't a perfect science, but these weight ranges are typically considered within the realm of healthy for their corresponding heights. Of course, there are exceptions. Some people are long and lean, while others are naturally stocky. While some body types put on muscle very quickly, others just aren't designed to show muscle definition. You do have to use common sense and set a goal that is realistic. If you feel you are at a healthy weight, but fall outside of the chart range, I recommend you talk to your doctor to help assess your weight needs. Use the chart in the Watch Your Transformation section of your user guide to set your sights on a goal that is reasonable for your body. Your 2020 vision of your future self. An important aspect of goal setting has to do with defining the types of improvements you'll be making and how your life will change. Check out the questionnaire in the Your 2020 Vision of Your Future Self section of your user guide and answer the questions honestly. I'm guessing your answers revealed that your current weight is impacting most, if not all, aspects of your life. Now, let's dig a little deeper. Write down exactly what you've wanted to do that your weight has restricted you from doing. These are the aspirations that you've put so far on the back burner that you've nearly forgotten them. You must be realistic so you don't set yourself up for disappointment. If your dream has been to pose on the cover of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, you might need a reality check. But maybe you want to strike a sexy pose in your bikini on the beach this summer. Now we're talking. Here are a few more ideas to get you thinking. Maybe you want to set a goal of getting back into the dating world after years of keeping to yourself out of embarrassment. Or perhaps you want to fit into rides at the amusement park when you go with your kids, or simply fit into your favorite pair of jeans that you buried in the back of your closet. Part 1 of the exercise is to write down your dreams and goals. Use the Part 1, What I Want to Do, area in the Your 2020 Vision of Your Future Self section of your user guide to jot down notes from this exercise. Part 2 of the exercise is to spend at least 30 seconds visualizing yourself actually doing these things. This will allow you to see your own potential even before you've reached it. Athletes do this all the time. As basketball players stand at the free throw line, they vividly see themselves in their mind's eye shooting the ball and the ball landing in the basket. Nothing but net. Golfers watch the ball go in the hole before they make the putt. I want you to program your mind by capturing a specific mental image, not only of you doing these things, but what you will look like, what you will feel like, and how your life will be different after you've broken free of the bonds of being overweight. Imagine those feelings of passion, excitement, or whatever it may be for you, and then imprint them in your mind. It's a step toward behaving in a way that will make it a reality. When you're finished with the visualization, write it down in the Part 2, How I Will Feel area, in the Your 2020 Vision of Your Future Self section of your user guide. That might have been an emotional experience, especially if you've been afraid to let yourself think about what could be instead of wallowing in what is. Maybe you've been blocked by fear of failure or a fear of getting carried away in a dream that can never be your reality. I want you to claim victory over fear right here and now. This time, you will not fail. This time, it's within your grasp. Create your 2020 plan. Now let's create your plan to reach your goals.